Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Khadim India Limited, organized by Orient Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Nachiket Kale from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this conference call to discuss the results for first quarter of FY 2023. Today on this call we have from Khadim India Limited, the promoter, Mr. Siddharth Roy Bubbles, who is the Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ritwik Roy Bubbles, Whole-time Director, Ms. Namrata Chokhrani, CEO, and Mr. Indrajit Chaudhary, CFO. Before we start the call, I'd like to give a small disclaimer that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. Actual results may differ materially. A detailed safe harbor statement has also been published in the company's investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange today. I hope everyone had a chance to go through the presentation and the press release. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Siddharth Roy Bubbles. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Good evening and namaskar, everybody. We welcome you to this conference call to discuss the first quarter result for the financial year 2022-23. We closed FY 2022 on a firm footing, putting the worst of the pandemic behind us with a strong recovery in sales and profitability. We are happy to report that we are building upon the momentum with the strategic efforts. The impact is visible in our performance this quarter, in which we have registered 190% growth in retail sales. Our continuous focus on product improvement and improved retail experience has led to renewed demand. We continue to strengthen our retail presence and expanded our store network of 796 stores with an addition of 25 stores. In the distribution business, we are especially focusing on the strengthening our foothold in the eastern market. Coming to our performance for the quarter, revenue in Q1 FY23 stood at 166 crore, growing by 88.2% from 82 crore rupees in Q1 FY22. The retail business has delivered an encouraging 190% growth. Overall, gross margin stands at 41.3%, an increase of 596 BPS year-on-year. Retail gross margin has improved from 50.6% to 54.1%. EBITDA stood at rupees 17 crores, exhibiting an encouraging recovery from an EBITDA loss of rupees 36 lakhs in Q1 FY22. EBITDA margin at 10.3% has improved both year-on-year and quarter-to-quarter. While we had reported a loss of rupees 10.8 crores in Q1 FY22, we have now generated a healthy profit of rupees 3.3 crore. While we continue to deal with macroeconomic challenges and volatility in raw material prices, we are confident in our ability to deliver strong performance going ahead and deliver value for all stakeholders. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Viraj Mehta from Equirus PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, and congratulations. Can you just tell me what would be the EBITDA in before Ind AS? So if you were to adjust for the rent?
It would be, if rent is adjusted, then it will be around 7%.
7%. Okay. And in terms of, you know, if we essentially look at our gross profit margin this quarter, they were closer to around 41%, which is an improvement even on last quarter, whereas this quarter we saw a hike in the raw materials. So, can you throw some light? I mean, what kind of like-to-like pricing did we take? Like, how did we manage that? Or is it just all product mix change?
It was a function of both, Viraj. It's a function of price increases to adjust for the raw material price increase and the GST, and also the premiumization, which we are doing in our product mix, you know, to ensure that the sub-brands sell more, which drive the ASP increase and the gross margin increase.
Mainly the gross margin increase is there in the retail segment, where from 50% it has gone to 54%.
Got it. And in terms of retail segment, like, what will be your aspirational gross margin?
So I think we're looking at growing on a year-on-year basis by approximately 100 basis points.
I understand. So, but, like, is there an upper cap to it? Like, do you think 57, 58 is kind of possible over 3-4 years?
Sir, it's definitely possible, but I don't. There'll be to put a minimum or a maximum does become tough. We are right now at our healthiest and the highest ever gross margin. And if you compare to the industry standards, I think we are pretty much there. In fact, if you compare any apparel or a footwear retail company, our gross margins are pretty comparable. So I think we've reached healthy numbers. The idea from now on is to ensure that, you know, we are, you know, working towards the on the range architecture to ensure the ASP increase, which will drive the which will be driven through the premiumization, which we are trying to do through our range architecture, and also which will drive the gross margin increase.
Right. And in terms of, in
Because we also want to ensure that we are continuing to keep the products affordable. We, you know, our positioning is affordable fashion. We don't intend to become premium. So to ensure that we continue to remain affordable, we have, you know, this is a very healthy margin, given that positioning that we're looking at.
No, absolutely. So if I look at our stores, which is around 796, even in last few calls, you have continued to maintain that there will be some store growth and there will be same-store sales growth. Are we, like, what will be our throughput per stores, or is there a, like, is there a place where some significant amount of stores are at a significant disadvantage in terms of throughput per store per day, vis-a-vis some of our older stores? And are we doing something to kind of change that? If you can talk a little bit about the strategy there, because you're right in terms of margins, in terms of gross margin, we are right up there, but in terms of EBITDA, we are not remotely close to some of the larger players, just because the throughput probably isn't there.
So, number one, I think in terms of throughput, as you mentioned earlier, yes, there will be our core stores which will be overperforming very significantly, and that applies to any brand. You will have some stores which will be overperforming, and there are some stores which are, you know, which are, which will be, you know, performing lower than average, purely because, you know, we are entering into new markets, you know, we are trying to establish ourselves there, you know, and, you know, it's taking that amount of time. Having said that, we are constantly trying to figure, you know, we are on a regular basis analyzing the stores which are performing lower than the average or a healthy EBITDA margin, to ensure that we are working on the range architecture, or we're working on the cost lever, either to increase sales or to reduce cost to ensure that that store continues to remain healthy, profitable. So that's an ongoing exercise by the entire team. And in terms of, reaching, we're not close to a lot of brands, yes, but we are also close to a few of them in the affordable fashion segment in terms of profitability. Having said that, I think one would appreciate that, in the last 5 to 6 quarters, we have continuously given profitability, we've turned around despite COVID. And I think at 10.5%, we are doing a good amount of doing good numbers. In fact, some of the industry standard, some of the companies in this in the industry are at similar levels as well. So I think yes, there is definitely an endeavor to perform significantly better, and we are definitely looking at doing it. But I think it's a process of time. I think second and third quarter, given that, will be significantly better, hopefully, given the festive is around the corner, margins should be better.
Thank you so much. Just one request, Namrata and team. If you can provide, in the future, and you have been very kind enough to share a lot of data in your presentation, but if you can provide one number, which is, especially in the retail, what will be the store level profitability, not only gross margins, but just to give a sense, if I were to look at a QSR, it's a store level profitability, and then there will be corporate overheads, just to give some sense of profitability and ROC across two businesses. If at all it will be possible in the future, it will be very, very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Viraj. Appreciate your interest.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Jain from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. Sir, just two questions. First, how is July and August is there? I don't need a future looking, but how is the trend consumer sentiment? And second, if you can throw some light on the inventory side, how the things are shaping up currently right now?
So, thank you, Viraj. Sorry, thank you, Abhishek, for your question. Appreciate it. So I think, the consumer sentiment is definitely improving. We are seeing a slow improvement in the consumer behavior. Yes, inflation is a reality. None of us can shy away from it. But consumer behavior is normalizing compared to the, compared to the COVID period. We are seeing people purchasing the products across various categories, including work, festive, party, casuals, sports shoes. I think so the offtake is good across every category, not only in retail, even distribution. So yes, we're hopeful that this quarter will be good. In terms of stock, I think...
our stock days was at 98 days in 31st March, so it has gone up slightly higher to 104 days. Second quarter also the stock level will be high, but once the festive is gone, the stock level days will come down.
Sir, on the sentiment side, where in which areas you are facing, like the eastern part of our country, and where exactly we are getting good feedback, and where we are still believe there are challenges are there, if you can throw some light. And second, if you can throw something on how in the product mix side, like which are the products like lady segment and all, where exactly we are getting good feedback. Last question, largely on the what I would see key on the like we have seen some I'll finish the two questions, and the third question I'll take it will be a regular will be a follow up question for the other two right now. If you can do these two also, that will be helpful.
So in terms of region, we are seeing an overall improvement in sentiment across the regions we are present. 60% of our business does come from the east, so east definitely has a significant impact to our business. Around 20-25% comes from the southern part of the country. Which is also significant. So we're seeing normalized improvement across both the markets. We're not seeing significant difference across. In terms of category, as I said earlier, you know, during the COVID period, there were some categories which were performing decently well and some categories were underperforming significantly. Like workwear, there was no demand for workwear, there was no demand for school shoes, there was no demand for party wear. There was more basic demand requirement, you know, homeware or sports shoes. Athleisure was very huge during COVID period, which continues to be significant. But now there's a demand of workwear. School shoes have come back pretty significantly. But if you see on a normalized basis, see, there'll be spurts of demand because of the pent-up demand which has come owing to limited shopping the last couple years. But then on a normalized basis, we are seeing all categories perform the way they were doing pre-COVID.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rahul Jain from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Congratulations for the good set of numbers for last three, four quarters. Ma'am, just to understand one on the overall strategy to improve our sales and also the average selling price. So within the strategy for sales growth, how do we look at, and I would be happy if you can give more quantitative color to the same. You have spoken about the various strategies earlier in terms of premiumization and also product mix changes. But if you could quantify certain things, that will be helpful to us to understand the overall sales growth which you are looking for the current year and the next year. So typically, how do you look at the volume growth, the product mix changes, the store addition, and moving up the average selling price? That's my question number one.
So Rahul, thank you for your question. Really appreciate it. So I think in terms of growth, you know, at pre-COVID levels, we were approximately at 500 rupees as an ASP at our retail levels. We have gone up to approximately 600 rupees in terms of average selling price, which is a good increase in the ASP, which is driven through the entire premiumization that we are looking at. You know, the price increase that we have also taken, adjusting for the raw material and the GST. So that has been, which is also reflected, the improvement has also been reflective in your gross margins as well. So that is definitely something which has been a significant reason for, you know, even the recovery for our business. But having said that, I think on a year-on-year basis, this is not the kind of growth one is looking at. There have been a couple of abnormal years, and the reasons also, as I said, the inflations were there, the GST was there. And given that, you know, the GST increase was, you know, almost from 5%-12%, which is in the below 1,000 rupees category, wherein almost 80% of our retail product range, you know, is there, and, you know, almost 100% of our distribution product range is there. So the GST impact was quite significant. But going forward, I think the ASP increase that we'll be looking at will be in the range of around 4%-5%, and the balance coming through the SSG and the new store openings on an annual basis. We're looking at growing approximately 70 to 80 stores on a year-on-year basis across the markets that we are currently present and in new markets through COCOs and franchises, but largely driven through the franchising model.
Sure. So you were looking at a guidance, you had given a guidance of around 800 crores revenue for FY23. Do we stand by that? And with an EBITDA target of 12%.
EBITDA of 12% annually?
Yes. In the previous call.
Yes.
And with regards to revenue?
Gross 800 crores.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you say the gross, sir, typically the reported number, like,
no,
if I look at
gross,
the
is including the GST.
So I just to give you a perspective, if you look at, if we've given that even in the investor report, and just to give understanding as to the pre and the post impact of GST, if you remove the impact of the GST, the growth even for the distribution business was almost 27% and the retail was almost 207%. Vis-a-vis the net sales is 90% and 190%.
And ma'am, with regards to the average selling price, I think one of the previous participants tried to understand the throughput for the store. And comparing to the other companies, which is where the difference probably in the EBITDA margin could be one of the reasons for that. So typically, our average selling price on the retail side also seems to be low, of course, with the kind of products which we are into. But probably it also falls because on the distribution side, our average selling price comes to be practically very low. So how do we look to correct this, or say, what do we do so that we can move to around, say, 15-16% EBITDA margin in the next 2 years or so?
So it's going to be a function of, it's going to be a function of the fact that the growth will come back, will normalize much more. If you're seeing that the, in the last quarter also, inflation and COVID was a reality. Having said that, coming out of COVID was just, we had just come out from last year. But I think we're looking at growing in terms of sales, retail expansion, the operating leverage coming in will definitely improve the EBITDA margins. That there is no two ways about it. On the distribution side, as you said, distribution is a very different business compared to the retail business. Distribution, the product mix is very different. It's very, it's Hawaii chappal, PVC chappal, PU chappal, and the 80% of your product mix, the product range is below 500 rupees. So there the ASP increase is not something which we are looking at, significantly looking at as much as we're looking at the volume growth. Because there the business is more, you grow in terms of volume, you'll take more market share, and the operating leverage itself will drive with the profitability improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping in the next couple of years we'll be looking at the number you're talking about.
Sure. And so
thank
the
you.
Next two, just
sir,
one last.
I request you to kindly get
okay,
back.
Sure. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good recovery. Namita, just wanted to understand, we did very well considering that the pressure, inflationary pressure that we had on gross margin. We actually did better than some of the other peers also. So just wanted to understand how did we, what all levers that we dialed upon to protect or improve gross margin?
Firstly, thank you, Tejas. Appreciate the good wishes and hope you're doing well. In terms of, ASP increase, the gross margin increase has been mainly driven through the ASP increase, which is driven through the entire premiumization and the requisite price increases to make up for the inflationary pressures and the GST increase. So I think it's a function of, and the entire value engineering that we have done on the product to reduce cost and to ensure that, we are able to provide fashion at an affordable price. So the way we talk about it internally is that, we look at fashion the way it is working across the country, across the world. We analyze fashion, analyze color palettes, analyze fashion trends, and we try figuring how to khadimize it. That's the way we talk about it internally. By khadimize, basically, we try figuring how to source those products, through the local vendors in a manner where we are providing quality products, quality and fashionable products at the right price with the right margin. So I think, we are very focused that every product needs to make that kind of gross margin. The entire team personally looks at the product gross margin, and accordingly, we place the product on the shelf. That is something, which has been driving the improvement in gross margin. and also which has led to the improvement in the, and the recovery of the business.
So ASP increase and better sourcing, that's what, those are the two drivers.
ASP increase and?
Better source.
Yes.
Better sourcing, yeah. Just staying with this point, so this quarter was very difficult for footwear industry, especially for value retailers like us, because there was a GST increase also, which we had to pass on along with inflation.
Yeah.
And still we actually did well. Even demand also did not get impacted much. So just wanted to understand, how should we read consumer sentiment? Because with your price increase and GST increase and the kind of cohort that we are servicing to, I'm assuming that has to be price sensitive. What worked for us, and do you think that we would have gained market share in the relevant market?
See, on the retail side, they just, in general, the kind of product mix and the, price assortment that we have, and I have said this in many calls and conversations which I've had with, the larger investor base, is that on the retail side, I don't think there's any other brand that is able to offer the kind of product mix at the price point that we are offering. It is with utmost modesty that, I'm saying that, because, we've done the Reiki across most brands. The range that you're offering at the price point that you're offering, there are not many brands who are able to do that. And that's also the DNA of the organization, which has, been built up over many, many years. So because of this, the impact on the retail side has been relatively lesser. In terms of the impact of inflation, I'm not saying it's not there, but it's relatively lesser because our strength is our affordability and fashion. On the distribution side, yes, there has an impact in terms of volume and price point, purely because consumer today, he has to juggle with for lack of better words, atta, sugar, tea at much higher prices than what they were used to. So then they today have, if they're earning 100 rupees, their pocket has, their income has not increased significantly as much as the cost has increased. So today they have to make a choice of whether they want to go for a branded play or a non-branded play, because even if they want to go for a branded play, does their pocket allow it? Maybe it's a short-term issue, but it is definitely a concern for most of the brands in the country. Having said that, I think what we are at least trying to do internally is that we are trying to do a lot of work on the product. We are value engineering the product significantly to ensure that you are able to cater to that demand and not lose that demand and also maintain that kind of margins. So we are creating a product range to be able to cater to every demand so that we don't lose on market share and volume. And hopefully we would have gained some.
Great, great. And the last one, you spoke about adding some 70 EBOs, right? Retail stores.
Yeah, 70 to 80 stores per year, out of which almost 90% would be franchisees.
Okay, and any regional breakup would you like to give? How much will be east, south?
So, in terms of, I'll just give you the number. So, approximately 40% would be east, 25% would be south, and balance would be north and west.
Okay. So why I ask the question, Amrita, when I see your retail penetration in a state like West Bengal, we have 250 plus kind of EBO, and obviously we started a brand from there, so everyone can understand the brand is also much more established. But when we do our channel checks, we have reasonable presence and brand equity now in southern India, especially Tamil Nadu and Karnataka also. So just wanted to understand, instead of spreading ourselves too wide, and then this 2-3 geographies in South India are chunk of many national established brands also, would you like to penetrate further in some of these existing markets aggressively and then add new states, or you are already present in all the states mostly. But I just wanted to understand, would you have that kind of plan that you want to focus on, let's say, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka for next 1-2 years, and then at least bring it to 100 store kind of states each state, and then actually expand or move forward to other states? Just randomly asking this thought process behind your expansion plan.
Before I answer the question, I mean, which are the brands you're referring to in South India, which are very huge?
No, I'm saying national brands also, they have, and this not only footwear category, other categories also, we have seen that South India has a very reasonable chunky contribution because the per capita income and disposable income both are very good for most of the lifestyle categories. So I'm saying we have established ourselves as a very strong brand in Southern India, and at least in our channel checks, we figure out what we have, what sample set could be wrong also. But we believe that we have a super brand equity in Tamil Nadu and Karnataka, Tamil Nadu in particular. So just wanted to understand, 63 stores, are we under indexed to the brand equity that we have in some of the states? And would you like to focus on some of the states where we have already established, and then make this count, let's say 80 out of 80, 60 comes from some of these two states, three states, and then we actually move forward to add new states where we are thinly represented?
So Tejas, frankly, we've been in South India for almost 15 to 20 years now, and I think because of that, as you rightly mentioned, the brand equity in Tamil Nadu is very high. In Karnataka also, we are doing well. In fact, amongst the last research that we had done, we are among the top three retail brands in the southern part of the country. So we definitely, you know, have a very strong brand equity. In fact, a few years back, I had gone to Mangalore, just as an example, and we didn't have presence there, and gone to two malls over there. This is, and both the malls, despite the fact that we did not have presence in Mangalore, knew about the brand and were very open to, and encouraging us to take, to come and open a store there. The point I'm trying to make is that despite the fact that in some markets we are not there, the brand equity is strong enough for us to be able to open either a COCO or a franchisee. The potential of the market is very strong, and we are looking at capitalizing on the markets where so we've done a full micro market analysis as to where we'll be able to open a COCO, where we'll be able to open a franchisee, a large format franchisee and a small format franchisee, depending on the market. And based on that, we are deploying all our resources in terms financially and human manpower to be able to get those stores. When you're trying to open a franchisee, if you are too concentrated, in our experience, at times it becomes difficult because all your eggs are in one basket. In our experience, we prefer to have a larger umbrella in terms of getting franchisees. But we are also trying to focus in the states where we have good presence. We're not trying to start a new venture in a new state particularly. But again, having said that, northern and west part of the country is not something which we're looking at expansion right now, but we're laying the seeds for future expansion. Because if we don't start now, in the next couple of years, we will struggle, for penetration and growth. So we're laying the seeds for expansion. In fact, we have a good presence in Gujarat, Rajasthan. As we speak, Punjab, we're opening up. And the entire Ghaziabad belt, we're opening up. So, and we're getting a good response also. So I think we are hopeful that, it will come out right, but to answer your question very, very particularly, East is definitely our home market. We will continue to penetrate the existing market as well, but laying seeds for future expansion in the new market.
Out of the total, 65% store is opened in East and South.
Got it, sir. No, I was also looking from SKU operating leverage perspective. I believe East and South will have more SKU operating leverage commonality in terms of servicing same taste, fashion scene, fashion sense and all. So I got my answer. Thanks and all the best. Yeah.
Absolutely, frank, Tejas, East and South have a very similar fashion sense. It's relatively less, more basic, more standard, more core compared to the other parts of the country. So the expansion which we have started from the East and South was owing to that reason also, and I think which has helped us, and grow because the mindset is it's relatively similar. I would not say same.
Yeah, that was the genesis of my question. Anyways, thanks and all the best, Namrata and the team.
Thank you, Tejas. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Jagannathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to know what is the current ASPs, what are the ASPs currently at, and in terms of retail and in distribution?
So in retail, our ASP is approximately 600, and in distribution, it is approximately 100.
100. So we are blending that?
Sorry?
So the blended ASP would be?
It would be interesting to look at the blended ASP because it's a very, that two very different businesses, sir.
But if I have to say this many number of pairs sold multiplied by average ASP, what would that number be?
See, the retail ASP that I'm giving you is something which we experience at our store on our retail on our COCO level. If you're looking at the distribution ASP, it's something which I'm selling to the distributor net sales. Net of the distribution margin. So again, it'll be very different a comparison. It will be a wholesale rate versus a retail rate. So it's not the right way to look at it, sir.
Because the so there is no concept of a blended ASP. I understand. Okay. So so what is the price increase we have taken this quarter on the ASP on distribution and on retail?
So it's not this quarter particularly. You know, I think the way we work is that the product introductions happen across four phases. We have you know, the spring summer which comes in February, March. We have another Eid and the marriage season which comes somewhere in April, May. Then you have festive AW which comes in right now. Then you have winter which comes in November, December. So I think the idea is that we will take the requisite inflationary price increases and the range architecture which we develop for this this year, this calendar year, adjusting for the four seasons, this will adjust for the ASP increase. So I don't think it's a particular quarter price increase.
Okay. So in the previous con call, you had mentioned that you had taken an ASP increase of approximately 20 to 22% on the distribution side and 14 to 16% on the retail side in the previous con call. So just trying to understand that the increase in ASP on both distribution and retail has not translated into the increase in top line. Even if it's not like to like, are we like losing market share in terms of number of pairs sold? Because if it's basic arithmetic, if my overall ASPs go up by 18%, and if my sale remains constant as compared to say Q2 of FY21, which is a normalized quarter without breaking for COVID or adjusting for COVID, so would it be fair to say that we are losing some market share?
So, in terms of the 25% growth that I have told you, which you have taken, is purely because of the inflationary price increases and the GST impact, which we had to take the price increases for that reason. So I think that is what I was trying to say in the previous call also, and which has, the entire industry has taken those price increases to adjust for this increase in cost. That was number one. And in number two, I didn't get your last question compared to 21. Can you, in Q1 21?
Not Q1, ma'am. Q2 21. Q1 21 was a COVID quarter. So that's not fair comparison. I thought Q2 21. Q3 21 is Pujo. So I can't compare Q3 21 because that's a special quarter. That's our best quarter. I was just
but Q2 21 also would be... would be an incorrect base to take because number one, it was just come out from a COVID period, and number two, it had adjusted for the Q2. You have the maximum billing for pre-festive to your franchisees. So I think it will be very incorrect comparison. And if you're talking from a distribution angle, if you go back to the COVID period, when it just come out from the COVID period, the demand for open chappals and Hawaii chappals was significantly high, purely because the unorganized market and a lot of factories were shut across the country. And if you see, most of the branded players in the distribution business during that year have performed fantastically, have shown fantastic growth in Hawaii chappals, open chappals, for that particular reason. Because lot of the people had gone back to the villages and lot of them were staying at home, and which had increased the demand for Hawaii chappals significantly because supply was restrained. So again, the base in both the in case of retail and distribution may be incorrect from Q2 21 as well. And Q1 and Q2 work very differently, because in our case Q2 there's a lot of the selling which happens to the franchisee pre-festive.
One data I can share, the last year Q3 was the best quarter, Pujo quarter. There in retail we sell 21 lakh pairs, and this first quarter we have sold 20.5 lakh pairs.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, if the ASPs are similar, then the sales should be higher, I thought. Even if I compare with FY19, FY18 or whichever, and if there is an ASP increase, and that commensurate top line is not increasing, that is what I just wanted to fill in. Like, how is it possible that ASPs are going up by 20-25% and the top line is stagnant at 160-170? I don't know. Maybe I'm... And the other thing is, with regard to employee cost...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Request you to kindly get back in the queue, please.
This is my first question, ma'am. Can I just finish this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so, and second thing is the employee costs and other expenses have gone up in this quarter from, I think, again, 14 crore in Q2 FY21 to 17 crore the employee costs have gone up. Is it due to any one-time expense increase, any one-time increase in employee cost and other expenses? Or is it like, is it going to be the trend going forward?
Employee cost last year, this quarter, the employee was given 75% of the salary, because during the COVID time, we deducted salary from the employee 25%, and in the May quarter last year, we have paid 50% of the salary. So that has been normalized in October 21, and this year there was an increment, so that's why the employee cost has gone up. And other costs have gone up because there is selling costs, if the sales has increased, the other costs has also increased, and the traveling has also increased. So that's why the thing has normalized. So the cost has also increased and normalized in the pre-COVID levels.
Okay, so it's normalized cost. And one last thing on the sneaker thing, which ma'am was mentioning that the sneaker sales are going up and athleisure is doing well. So just a comparison between, say, even 2019, where Kadam brand was a sub-brand. Kadam was at 46% and sub-brands was at, Kadam was at 43 and sub-brands were at 57. Now, Kadam is at 46 and sub-brands are at 54. So despite the market moving significantly into sneakers, where a lot of new players have come in and existing players, like even legacy players have increased their sneaker sales, I mean, or even the sneaker studios, or as they call it. But in our case, the contribution of Kadam has increased vis-a-vis other brands over the last 4 years. Any particular reason?
So your question is, the sub-brand contribution has reduced, or you, what is your question?
The brand contribution from others has reduced vis-a-vis Kadam, whereas the segment that's growing the most is the others, where, you know, the sneaker segment is the fastest growing segment, as you mentioned, athleisure and, yeah.
So if you see the sub-brand contribution in maybe pre-COVID was approximately 51%. Sorry, 50% approximately. And the Kadam contribution is 50% as well. So that has become approximately 60-40.
Okay, I'm just seeing from your presentation, it is like, it's mentioned 57-43. So
56-43. So I think that has become, that has moved from approximately 60-40 pre-COVID.
Okay. From what I see on your presentation, it's become lower in terms of other brand contribution. So your take is that the sneaker growth is being captured in our sales.
Yes. The contribution to our sports shoe contribution in terms of sports shoe as a sub brand is the largest sub brand after the mother brand Kadam.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Darshil Javeri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening team and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I actually wanted to ask a bit about our long-term growth plans. I think ma'am said that we might try achieving 14-15% EBITDA in coming few years. So could we just have some kind of flavor or in terms of our aim for FY25, how do we want to see our growth? Because I think we have a lot of operating leverage coming towards us with new increased retail stores and everything. So could you just have some kind of guidance whether by FY25 we might be able to reach 14-15% EBITDA and what our revenue numbers could look like? Because we might achieve 800 crores revenue, like our best revenue this year. So could you just give us maybe a layout in terms of what we want to achieve as for the next upcoming few years?
So in FY25, we are targeting approximately 1,000 crores revenue and the EBITDA margin is in the range of around 14-15%.
Ma'am, 1,000 crores seems a little bit conservative, if I may ask that, because are we being a bit cautious? Because 800 in FY23, we have a good base, or that you would like to maintain 1,000?
So, I mean, if you take approximately a 15% compounded growth rate, it'll come to almost 1,050 crores. So, if you can possibly take that as a number. But, I mean, the idea is to reach, to cross a 1,000 crore mark by FY25 and achieve a 14-15% EBITDA margin.
Oh, okay. And if I may, can I ask one more question, ma'am?
Yeah, sure, please.
So I would just like to know a bit more about our unit economics in terms of our retail expansion. We are targeting 70 to 80 stores every year. So what would be a payback period and what kind of incremental revenue do we expect from our new stores or something? Any guidance on that would be nice.
In case of COCO, I mean, when we open the 1,000 square feet, the capex is around 25 lakhs. And the working capital is 15 lakhs. So we expect a return for COCO in the northern and western area at around 2.5 to 3 years. And in case of eastern part, within a year, southern 1.5 years. And in case of franchisee for 700 square feet, the unit economics is that the capex is around 15 lakhs and a stock of 10 lakhs. And they get a ROI of around 22-23% in a phase of 5 years.
So, in franchisee, do we just get a fixed amount of royalty every year, or how does that work, sir?
No, franchisee we sell at the MRP less trade discount, and we sell the product to the franchise.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That answers most of my questions. And all the best, sir. And thank you so much for answering my questions, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks again for the opportunity. So two questions, ma'am. So going ahead, how do we look at the proportion of retail sales versus the distribution? So because in last 5 years, our retail sales have actually declined and so the distribution sales have gone up. Margin from distribution sales have almost remained the same, whereas on the retail side, sales have declined, but the gross margins have moved up quite sharply. So going ahead in next 2 years, how do we see this proportion between retail and distribution?
On the distribution side, sir, in the last few years, I hope you appreciate that the increase in raw material prices has been almost 60% to 70%. And despite that, we've been able to, you know, maintain our prices and maintain our gross margin and, you know, try to maintain our sales at a normalized level. Because you're in this business, you're catering to, you know, the SEC, B and the C, tier two, tier three markets at the ground level. I think that's why you're seeing this trajectory coming, and that applies to almost all the branded players in this country who are dealing in this segment of business. Going forward, the idea is to ensure that, you know, we are getting volume out of the existing distributors, increasing their wallet share, you know, through the same through existing categories also, and adding the new categories of products, which will help us drive the ASP and volume and the overall business growth. That will also, on a larger scale, be driven by the entire unorganized to the organized shift. I think that has been the case over there. On the retail side, again, owing to the last few years of the COVID impact, the retail business across all the entire industry has seen this kind of impact. If you in fact see our performance quarter-on-quarter versus all the other brands or all the other retail industry, we're pretty much in line with them. This, you're seeing this kind of, we have worked on the entire range architecture and the product mix to be able to drive the ASP and the gross margin increase, which will hopefully continue. It will not, and this has also been a little on the higher side, again, because of the raw material price increases and the GST increase, which you've seen in the last 1 year itself. Hopefully, the next couple of years, the ASP increase, as I mentioned, will be approximately 6% to 7%. The gross margin increase will be approximately around 100 basis points.
Can we touch back about 500 crores of revenue from the retail side, which we were doing pre-COVID?
Yes, I think
we are expecting that level of sales this year. If you see the contribution, the retail this first quarter is around 63% of the total sales, and distribution is at 33%, and online is 4%.
Okay. And lastly, ma'am, on advertisement and promotional activities. So typically, do you have an upper limit to the... Hello? Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Sure. So on the advertisement and the promotion expenses, do we have kept a kind of upper cap as a percentage of sales? The reason I'm asking is, in last 5-6 years, we were generally in the band of about 17 to 20 crores. Only in FY19, we were at around 27 crores, and FY20 was a huge jump to about 49 crores when we had almost three brand ambassadors in the same year coming. And then again, it has, of course, dropped down. But need to understand, because we were in pandemic times, obviously, you must have cut down a lot on the advertisement and promotional activities. So going ahead, what kind of budget do we keep for advertisement promotional activities this year and the next year? Hello?
Hello. Yeah, so thank you for this question. So, in terms of sales and promotion expenses, will be approximately around 4% to 5%, which will include your sales-driven the activities to support the sales increase, all your promotional activities, and also the entire ATL and BTL. So whatever distribution-based schemes or the sales-based schemes at the retail level and the distribution level, plus your advertisement, your ATL and BTL, would be approximately around 5% to 6%. So, but having said that, I think coming back to your earlier question was, you know, regarding the brand ambassadors, will be, you know, we had evaluated, we had tried that entire exercise. But I think the way the market is moving and the way the customer is changing and the digital landscape is changing, you know, we are looking at focusing on more regional influencers and celebrities to drive the kind of change that we are looking at in terms of product, in terms of retail experience. We're looking at doing it more digitally than the offline platform. And we have seen a good success of it in the last couple of years that we have experimented with. We're targeting, you know, a certain age. You have the ability in the digital media to target certain age bracket, certain, you know, the genders with the kind of, you know, ad film that you're creating or the content that you're creating, which is going to be, which is mainly product focused. In our case, the way we are looking at it, the product is going to be our hero. And this year we have launched the campaign of It's Wow with Khadim, which is going to be, which is mainly a trinity of product. The change of product that we're doing and the, you know, the retail experience and reiterating the price point of affordability. So I think, you know, that's how we are going about this entire thing. We're not looking at doing a national campaign. We're looking at doing it in the markets that, you know, we have a presence and we want to reiterate the brand recall in the minds of our existing consumer and also acquire new consumers, you know, by communicating effectively through the digital platform and through influencers who they will resonate with.
Sure, that's quite helpful. Just lastly, short-term questions, if you can answer. So we are just probably at the, you know, time when the festive season starts, say, in next about 20-25 days going ahead. And you have almost about, you know, 4 months of festive seasons across the country for next 3-4 months. So how is the kind of, you know, ground level inquiries or the ground level environment, or how is that shaping up?
So on the retail side, I think we are seeing a good, you know, we're seeing an improvement coming in the numbers. I think as of now, this, up to 15th August, discount sales will be on the US is on across the entire industry, retail industry. The numbers have been healthy. And in terms of the festive, I think at least what we are hearing, the festive will be good. You know, but having said that, you know, the eastern side, especially Bihar and Bengal, you know, they have been impacted by relatively lesser amount of rains this year. So the agricultural impact of it will have to be seen. But we are hopeful for a good festive season. I think that's the feedback that we're getting from the ground level market.
Sure. Thank you so much, ma'am, and the team. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nachiket Kale. Please go ahead.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for spending your time and participating in this call. I'd also like to thank the management for spending their time today and also providing their insights and research with us. For any further queries, you can get in touch with Orient Capital. We are the institutional advisors for Southern India. Please take care and have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Khadim India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.